Turn to the first epistle of John, the first chapter and the third verse. The first epistle of John, the first chapter and the third verse. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Now the Apostle writes, and he expresses the desires that underlie his writings to them. And in this verse we have the expression of one of them, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And in the fourth verse, and these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. When the Apostle writes concerning fellowship and joy, he does not speak of those enthusiasms that occupy the time and the emotions of many in the day in which we live. If you look at the first verse of this chapter, he says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. Now he had heard the Lord Jesus. He had seen him with his eyes. He had looked upon him as he had gone about in that ministry, as he was about his Father's business. And he had handled him. You see, when the Lord Jesus stood in the midst of the disciples after that he was risen, when they were afraid, he said unto them, handle me and see. Now the apostle calls these things to mind because the soldiers also had heard his voice, and they had looked upon him as he stood in the place of judgment. They had seen him with their eyes as he had gone about, and they had handled him also, for they took him and they nailed him to the cross. And there were many in Israel in that day that could say exactly the same thing. But they could not and did not speak as John spoke, because in the second verse he says, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. You see, the manifestation that John speaks of was the spiritual manifestation of that life. You know how that Jesus, as he spoke to Peter on one occasion, when Peter declared who he believed and knew Christ to be, He said, flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. Now this is the knowledge that John speaks of. You see, the people followed him. They knew what it was to be subject to enthusiasms. But dear friend, they had not that spiritual manifestation to which John refers here, and from which springs this desire to all those that love and fear the name of God, that they might have fellowship with him and with all that believe. For truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, dear friend, have we that fellowship with them? And is our fellowship truly with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ? Enthusiasms won't stand in that day. You know that there are many in the day in which we live. They say that all you need to do is to believe. And the Word of God tells me that if the Ethiopian can change his skin and the leopard his spots, then we are able and capable of believing. Now, every one of you knows that it is an impossibility for us to change the colour of our skin. So those that proclaim such things, they are subject to enthusiasms and are not those who speak the truth. And you know there are those also that say all you need to do is to give your heart unto God. Dear friend, do you know your own heart? Well, the Word of God tells me that mine is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And the Word also tells me that God will not look upon sin with any degree of allowance. So how can we give him a heart that is abhorrent unto him, expecting that he will receive it? It's foolishness, isn't it? And it's contrary to all that the Word says. And yet, many with enthusiasm seize upon these very things, supposing that they have fellowship with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Now the Apostle says, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Now what does he mean by fellowship? I suppose that we all have ideas and opinions, but you know, if we are right and if we are the Lord's, we shan't have differing opinions concerning this matter. We shall be as one in these things, because I believe that fellowship, communion, implies reconciliation. The Word teaches us that by nature we are enemies and afar off. Now, how can there be fellowship while there is a state of enmity and while we are far off? That there is a state into which the Lord's people are brought, of communion and fellowship with the Father and with the Son, it implies that a reconciliation has been made, that there is peace, and that they are made nigh. Now, I believe also that fellowship is not a single or a one-way communion. It is twofold. It is two-way. You know that if you have a natural love for someone, not only do you want to express your love to them, but you want them to express theirs to you. Both are necessary. And dear friend, when there is an expression of love made by one to the other, it's necessary that there's a receiving of that evidence and token of their love. And surely, the giving of those evidences and tokens of love results in the returning and a manifesting of the other's love. Now, I believe that while this is but a shadow of what is meant by this fellowship, nevertheless, I believe it indicates and shows to us the manner of this fellowship. Now, if we know fellowship with the Father and with the Son, I believe there is a coming together. Dear friend, do you know what it is for the Lord to reach out and touch you? It has to begin there. We can't reach out to Him. But He says in His word, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, and with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Dear friend, when you were far off, if the Lord hath come and touched you and drawn you, then surely He has reached out to bring you near. Now, I know that in this day in which we live, many say that it's not necessary to pass through a time of soul anxiety to enjoy fellowship with the Father and with the Son. They decry a law work. But dear friend, I do believe this, not only from the Word of God, but from those things that we have proved in our own soul. Judgments nor mercies turned our feet. It was only as the Word of the Lord went forth, stop that man. If you turn to Jeremiah chapter 16, you'll find these words written there in the 16th verse. Behold, I will send for many fishers, saith the Lord, and they shall fish them. And after will I send for many hunters, and they shall hunt them from every mountain and from every hill and out of the holes of the rocks. We sing a hymn on certain occasions, And two of the lines say this: time, like an ever-rolling stream, bears all its songs away. Dear friend, we are in that stream. And if we are borne away by that stream of time, as we are born by nature, without a change, without being stopped, the Word of God hath told us plainly what the end shall be. But it hath pleased God to send for many fishers. And you know, when a man takes his rod and line and he casts it into the stream, when that hook is in the fish's mouth, he's stopped with a jerk. Do we know something of it? Now the Lord says, not only will he do that, but he will send for hunters also, and they shall hunt them from every mountain and from every hill and out of the holes of the rocks. And I believe also that when the Lord begins with his people, he stops them and then he causes them to be driven from out of every false hope and refuge that they have made for themselves, and from all the duties with which they would seek to cover and excuse themselves. And I believe this word is indeed fulfilled in the experience of the Lord's people. And if you turn to the 28th chapter in Isaiah, you'll read there how that the Lord will send the hail and the rain and the storm. And the refuges that we have made for ourselves will be destroyed. And we shall have nowhere to hide. Now the Word of God tells me also that the law is a schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. And if we do not come under the schoolmaster, how shall we come unto Christ? You know, these are very solemn things, aren't they? Each one of us shall have to prove the truth of these things one day. And how solemn it will be if we have sat and we have heard and given a nominal and an outward approval of these things, and yet have not been, as John was, one to whom that life was manifested. Let me remind you of Paul, for the Lord came and he fished him, and he sent hunters to drive him from every false hope that he had. If you consider what Paul himself says concerning his pride in his knowledge of the law and of the ordinances and of all the things pertaining unto the word and the house of the Lord, he was an expert, and you know he boasted of it, how he loved his knowledge. Now the word also leaves on record in Paul's own terms how proud he was of his righteousness. He declares his lineage. He declares his state as touching the law and declared it to be perfect. how he loved that righteousness, how proud he was of it. And his duties also. He declared that in his zeal he haled men and women to prison that called upon the name of the Lord Jesus. Not only did he do it at Jerusalem, but he pursued them unto other cities. So zealous was he. Now Paul, before the Lord stopped him, had his beloved righteousness, his beloved knowledge, and his beloved duties. And if you consider again what he said concerning them, all those three put together only made him do many things contrary to the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh, that you might not rest upon knowledge or upon self-righteousness or upon duties, because Paul had to say concerning those things he loved so deeply, I count them all but loss. They were a detriment unto them. So he proved them to be. Now I believe that when the Lord comes and will set the confirmation of the love which he has had from before the foundation of the world known in the heart of his dear children, when he comes thus, he stops them and he hunts them from every false hope and brings them in their need to look unto Christ. Now I mentioned in prayer the words of Job of old, and I believe Job did indeed come to that very place in the 9th chapter and the 33rd verse. He said, neither is there any days man betwixt us that might lay his hand upon us both. Now he had said in the earlier verses, if I wash myself with snow water and make my hands never so clean, yet shalt thou plunge me in the ditch, and thine own clothes shall abhor me. And speaking of God, for he is not a man as I am, that I should answer him, and we should come together in judgment. Neither is there any days man betwixt us that might lay his hand upon us both. Now Job, I believe, was brought to that place. You see, and he had to say, he is not a man as I am, that I should answer him, and we should come together in judgment. Oh, he wanted those things, he desired them. But at that particular time, he did not know it. And he longed for it. But there was a time when the Lord made him to know those things that pertain unto that manifested life. And it was not an enthusiasm that seized him. It was the revelation of the Holy Spirit that conveyed unto him the love of God in Christ Jesus. And you know, more and more I'm taken up with the thought of that dear man Simeon. They brought the child into the temple to do for him according to the law. And the word tells us concerning Simeon that he was a man upon whom was the Spirit of God. And he waited for the consolation of Israel. You think of that dear man as he took that child up in his arms. What fellowship and communion he knew and saw at that moment, because he could say, "Now, Lord, lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation." He knew what fellowship was with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. But you see, that it was not enthusiasm is in this. Not only did he look for that appearing before the Father's face, but he desired it above all things, because reconciliation had been made, because by faith he perceived him who by promise God had determined to redeem every elect vessel of mercy. Now then, if we come a little closer home, what is it that we shall know concerning these matters, that we might be assured in our hearts, and that we might have fellowship with the Father and with the Son? Well, I believe that we shall know what it is to have revealed unto us a distinct interest in each of the persons of the Trinity, and that each of the persons in the Trinity has an interest in us. It's not one way, it's two way. It's give and receive. Dear friend, have you an interest in the Father? And has the Father manifested an interest in you? Well, if the Lord hath come and stopped you, if the Lord has sent for fishers, if the Lord has sent for hunters, then he has shown an interest in you. And I believe that you will desire to know an interest in the Father's electing love and in the blessings that he has stored up in Christ Jesus. You want to know somewhat of them. You won't want to be outside the secret of the matter. You know, the hymn writer says, "'Tis a point I long to know, oft it causes anxious thought, do I love the Lord or no? Am I his or am I not?" You know, the soul that is quickened and alive needs these things to be confirmed. They need to feel the interest in the Father's love, and to be a partaker in the blessings that he has stored in Jesus Christ. Because you know, if we're devoid of this knowledge and this understanding, we have an unsatisfied need. Why is it necessary for us that we do know an interest in the Father's electing love? Well, if you turn to the first chapter of Ephesians, you'll read there, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Now it's evident then that the elect vessels of mercy are partakers of the spiritual blessings that are in Christ Jesus. And he goes on and says, even as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. In Ezekiel we read how that the Lord looked upon a child polluted in its blood, cast out into the open field. And he said, and I passed by thee, and I said unto thee, live. Now if the child had remained where it was, how different would have been the conclusion of that chapter. But you see, the Lord said, and when I passed by thee, it was a time of love, and I spread my skirt over thee, and thou becamest mine. Now the Lord conveys unto his children that they are his. He spreads his skirt over them, and he takes them and brings them into that relationship with himself. For he says, and I washed thee, and I suppled thee, and I fed thee, and I clothed thee, and I adorned thee, and made thee beautiful with my beauty that I put upon thee. Now there is a record of the Lord's dealings with his dear children, the manifestations of his love, his electing love unto them, and the benefits and the blessings of which they are made partakers. And dear friend, don't you think that there would be a time when there'd be a spirit of thankfulness and satisfaction, a spirit of quietness in the one so dealt with? Well, I believe there are those times in the experience of the Lord's people when he comes and he speaks his love unto them. They go out after him and to him. In the Song of Solomon we read that he comes and he says, rise up, my love, and come away. And she didn't turn her back upon him, she went with him. And there was another time when, as she was asleep, I sleep, but my heart waketh. She gave no apparent sign of life, but there was that inside that was alive. And that was inside and alive responded. She said, it is the voice of my beloved that knocketh. She knew. And ultimately she rose up and she went out after him. And what was the desire? The chief aim and end of her going out after him. She said, and when I found him, I held him, and I would not let him go. Now, not only are we to know an interest in the Father's electing love and those spiritual blessings that he has stored in Jesus Christ, but I believe each one is brought to know that atonement which is by Jesus Christ alone. And if we know nothing of that, we do not know what pardon and peace is. Because pardon and peace is by his blood, and we need to be made participants and participators in those blessings. Now one hymn writer says, my faith would lay her hand on that dear head of thine, while like a penitent I stand and there confess my sin. Now surely one that is brought to that place is brought to feel a oneness with the Lord Jesus Christ. But you see, into what state they are brought as they enjoy this union. They are brought into a humbled and a penitent state. Now God himself has said in the word, except ye repent, ye cannot see the kingdom of God. And again, except ye repent, ye cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now this then is a vital matter, isn't it? And when we are brought to repent, to acknowledge and confess our sin, the word teaches us that he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. You know, I love to think of Israel of old, under that now done away dispensation, for it is a type and a shadow to set before us the glories that pertain unto Christ. When the Israelite of old came bringing his sacrifice unto the priest to be offered, when he came to the tabernacle door, what was the first thing that he saw? Well, the word teaches us that he saw that brazen altar. And as he looked upon it, from whichever side he approached, it was the same. It stood four square. And on that altar was the fire. And in the fire and from the fire was the smoke. That was what he saw. Now he knew very plainly and very clearly what those things were. The fire was that fire from God. And the smoke indicated to him that it had consumed. And he looked upon an altar, brazen altar, that bore the flame, the wrath, though that which was upon it was consumed. Dear friend, have you by faith looked upon the Lord Jesus Christ? The word tells us the same yesterday, today, and forever. The one who hath borne all the wrath of God. And can say by faith, he loved me and gave himself for me. My dear friend, if you and I are brought there, well then I believe we know what it is to have communion and fellowship with the Son. For it is on this ground reconciliation was made. But let us not pass by the necessity also of an interest in the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit in us. Because you know, except these things be confirmed and sealed by the Holy Spirit, How shall we have any knowledge or confidence in them? You know what it is to hear from a man these precious truths, perhaps over many, many years, but can draw no confidence from them. But when the Holy Spirit comes, quickens and enlivens, seals, teaches, reveals, confirms, oh dear friend, what joy there is in the soul. Now if we are right, we know whether we are possessors of that interest in the Father's electing love, in the atonement which is by Jesus Christ, and in the confirming of these things by the Holy Ghost. Because the Word teaches us that there is fruit from the revealings, the teachings, and the indwellings of the Holy Spirit. Do we manifest those fruits? Well, you know, I believe this, that if the law has done its work, if we have known these, the operation of the Holy Spirit in our own souls, then we shall manifest it in this, in the fear of the Lord, the love of the truth, and the hunger after Him. That woman in the Song of Solomon said, "Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou causest thy flock to rest at noon." Now what was it that she wanted? She wanted to be with Him, the shepherd. She wanted to be with the flock, and she wanted to be fed. Now the desire of the apostle was that they to whom he wrote might have fellowship with himself and with all them that believe, and with the Father and with the Son. Oh, I pray that this is our desire. Now the Word teaches us that if we lack, we shall ask, and He will give us what we have need of. Or that each one of us might be enabled to search ourselves in the light of the Word of God, and whatsoever things we lack, ask in faith, believing that He will grant it to us. May the Lord add His blessing. Amen.
Divine, all love excelling, joy of heaven to earth come down, fix in us thy humble dwelling, all thy faithful mercies crown. Jesus, thou art all compassion, pure and bound in love thou art. Visit us with thy salvation, comfort every sinking heart.